This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. COVID-19 cases are ticking upwards in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. The cases are far below the region's peak, and KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports many factors make these outbreaks more contained than previous ones.
On March 8th, the YK Delta hit its lowest COVID-19 case count in 5 months since early October, at about 16 cases per 100,000 people, according to state data. A week and a half later, that number has climbed to about 29 cases per 100,000 people. Dr. Ellen Hodges, chief of staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, says the current outbreaks are so far contained to about 5 communities. She calls these outbreaks discrete compared to the outbreaks of previous months.
There might be, let's just use a number, 20 people in a village, but we can link the cases together more easily. And that's what I mean by a discrete outbreak.
Whereas before, the virus was spreading widely and uncontrolled with no clear source, contact tracers have been able to identify the source of each of the current outbreaks, and the virus is not spreading as fast as it once was.
And they're not raging out of control like they were last fall because we do have some level of vaccination in every single village.
Though the outbreaks are contained for now, Dr. Hodges says that may change. She encourages every eligible person to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and for everyone to continue practicing health precautions like wearing masks in public. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Continuing in COVID-19, here's an update on the latest vaccination numbers in the region. Over 10,000 people, or 53% of the region's eligible population, has received one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Over 8,000 people, or 43% of the eligible population, has received two doses. The region's current test positivity rate is nearly 5%. Next, in crime. An affidavit filed by state troopers discloses more details in the shooting of a village police officer in Nunapichuk on March 16th. Darius Larson, age 37, of Nunapichuk, is being charged with attempted murder in the first degree, 3 counts of assault, escape, and 3 counts of misconduct involving weapons. Larson had been arrested for a DUI and was being held in a cell at the Nunapichuk Public Safety Building. The trooper affidavit says that a village police officer was in front of the cell door talking to him when Larson pulled a semi-automatic .45-caliber handgun from his waist and shot the VPO in the stomach. Troopers say when the VPO left the building to go to the village health clinic, leaving Larson in his cell with a gun, he was able to break the lock with gunshots and escaped. Larson fled to Bethel by snow machine, where Bethel police found and arrested him, recovering a semi-automatic .45-caliber handgun. The VPO was transported to Anchorage for medical treatment. Continuing in crime, Stephanie Ulrun was arrested for beating her 2-year-old daughter to death in Bethel on March 12th. She is charged with murder in the first and second degree and tampering with physical evidence. Ulrun told an officer that she, quote, lost control because her child wasn't listening to her, according to a police affidavit. Police wrote that Ulrun appeared to have attempted to clean up the residence and the victim's body before police arrived. Ulrun was not intoxicated at the time, according to police. Next, in economy. The state of Alaska will receive a huge influx of money from the latest federal COVID-19 relief package. Some of that money is going straight to individuals, but it remains to be seen how the state and local government will use the almost $1.4 billion coming their way. KTOO's Claire Strimple reports.
Money from the American Rescue Plan will come to Alaskans directly and indirectly. The plan includes both aid to individuals and nearly $1.4 billion to Alaska's state and local governments.
Yes, it's significant. Yes, it touches every facet of the economy.
Musin Gatabi is an associate professor of economy at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He says the money can help get Alaska back on track after the pandemic. But
it doesn't resolve Alaska's structural problems as big as the numbers we're talking about. I don't want to say they're a drop in the bucket because it's not. But Alaska is still in a tough spot.
Let's break the money down. First, there's direct aid. Individual payments of $1,400 are already popping up in Alaskans' bank accounts. Unemployed Alaskans will also receive more money. Then there's the expanded child tax credit. It's a substantial piece of aid, but it's also temporary. In the end, qualifying families could get up to $250 a month per child from July to December of this year. Gitabi estimates at least 90,000 families in Alaska are eligible.
We've never had something this grand, this broad, and this targeted towards lower income individuals in particular, right? And so, because it's going to obviously make the biggest bang for the buck for the lower income household, meaning, again, think about a family that has two children potentially receiving an additional $500 a month, right?
It has the potential to lift over 12,000 kids out of poverty in Alaska, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. But again, that's money those families will only get this year. Then there's the roughly $1.4 billion the state and local governments will have to spend. Gitabi puts that into perspective.
The most Alaskan answer I can give you is that the PFD in a typical year is more than $1 billion. So that's one way of thinking about it. The other way of thinking about it is that we have a bit more than $1 billion budget gap.
Of that money, over $1 billion goes to the state. That leaves about $230 million at the discretion of local governments. State economist Neil Fried with the Department of Labor says the two pandemic stimulus packages so far are unprecedented in his decade-spanning career. And he says there are some economic indicators that the last stimulus bill, the CARES Act of 2020, had a positive impact.
One sort of very dramatic thing that has happened that's very unusual, given the fact that we're in this recession. You know, we lost over 20,000 jobs, lots of payroll, business activity. But when we look at income actually grew last year in 2020, despite that. And that would never happen in your typical recession, which this, of course, is not.
Both Gitabi and Fried say the sooner Alaskans get past COVID-19, the sooner we can see a meaningful shift in the economy. The takeaway for the relief bill is that families and individuals should see money in their pockets between now and the end of the year. The direction the state and local governments go with their relief dollars, and how that will help individual Alaskans and the state's economy in general, remains to be seen. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strimple.
And finally, over the past week, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation has announced 37 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the region. That is a decrease since last week when YKHC announced 70 new cases of COVID-19. Since March, 5,051 people in the region have tested positive for COVID-19, 25 have died. Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.